For many people nowadays, there is something of a sense of skepticism about institutions. We tend to regard them as rather bureaucratic. They hold us back, they slow us down. We're not particularly institutionally minded. In fact, if you think of the word institution, we tend only to use it in a pejorative way, and to be institutionalized is never a compliment. We tend to want to be allowed to get on with things in our own way, without being given tram lines, being given rules that we all have to obey. The difficulty with that way of thinking is that it's not God's. When God founded the church, he didn't found a free-for-all where we all do as we will, go where we please and live as we like. He founded a visible body. That visible body has a visible head, and that visible head has a name. It's not just an idea, and that name is Peter. The institution of the primacy of our Holy Father is of the design of God. It's not a human invention. The apostles didn't gather together after the ascension of our Lord and say to themselves or to each other, our Lord wanted a democracy, but we feel happier under a totalitarian regime, so let's elect ourselves a dictator. Quite the opposite. It is our Lord who says, I will tell you and I will show you where I build my church. And that's not an idea, it's in a person. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I stress those pronouns, I will build. It's my church, says our Lord. Building the church on Peter is not something the church has done. It's something Christ is doing. He began it with the Apostle Peter. He has continued to do so throughout the history of the church. And that's not our choice. It's not our wisdom that picked out this particular apostle. That is the choice of Christ. God wants the church to have a visible head on earth. That visible head is not a figurehead. It's not just symbolic. He has actual supernatural authority. We know that because of what our Lord says and what our Lord is drawing on in the collective consciousness of Israel. The kings of Israel, the sons of David, in their royal government, entrusted a primacy of office, a primacy of authority in the running of their kingdom to the steward of the royal household. And you could tell who he was. He wore on his clothing the key of the royal palace. In the prophecy of Isaiah, when God orders Isaiah to dismiss the king's own prime minister, first minister of government, he does so applying all of that authority to a new minister, to Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, and that key is then given to him. Nobody else has a key to the royal palace except the king himself. When the king's minister locks that door, no one can open. When that minister unlocks, no one can close. He has primacy of authority in government. Our Lord is establishing the new kingdom of David. This kingdom, ruled by the Son of David himself, is not a kingdom of earthly design, but it uses earthly imagery to express itself. It's a kingdom based not on this side of the grave, but in the next, in heaven. So when Christ establishes his principal minister in whom he invests his divine authority of governance and of teaching, he does so using images that Israel could understand. So he says, I give you the keys of the new kingdom, not of a building, but but of heaven. Therefore, what you bind on earth is effective. It's bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The primacy of Peter, as passed on in every generation, is a primacy that is willed by God. God is saying to the world, our Lord is saying to every generation in every nation, if you wish to know me, know my church, because that's where you find me. In all of my fullness, in my teaching, in my scriptures, in my sacraments, that's where you will come to life supernaturally through the graces I impart to my church, where I choose to live. And if you have any confusion in your mind as to where that church is, if there are other voices in the world that say this is really the truth, or if there are other voices even within Christianity that say this is really what Jesus meant when he taught, or that is really the truth, or that is really the truth. If there are conflicting voices, if there are different teachings, you can know where the church I built is, because I give you a marker. I give you a beacon. I build my church on him, on Peter. If you read that prophecy of Isaiah describes, or God describes through Isaiah, what Eliakim will be as the head of the royal government. He says, God says, I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will be a point, in effect, of stability, a guarantee, an assurance that will not shift. That peg hammered home will not move when everything else does. You and I know the pressure that we are under day in and day out to take the teaching of our Lord and put it aside because it is too challenging. Challenges us, let alone anybody else. We know how hard it is to live up to that teaching and how much pressure there is to lay it aside as being historically limited or prejudiced or biased, or he didn't really mean it. And in a world filled with voices contrary, confusing and contradictory, we need to know where do we find the truth. Because that's how our Lord describes himself, the way, the truth for all humanity and the life. And if that question is raised in the minds of those who follow our Lord and are uncertain where to turn, where do I find the fullness of our Lord? Where do I find his mystical body as he builds it and not as we construct it, as we would rather it was? Where is his Holy Spirit in his body, the means and the mechanism that he's constructed to lead my soul to heaven? Then we go back to his words. On this rock I build my church. Our Holy Father is a gift of God. He remains absolutely and utterly human. He sins as you and I sin. He is weak as you and I are weak. He has opinions that you and I might find complicated and difficult, but he is given a guarantee by God. When he teaches, that teaching comes from Christ. It is his teaching. He is a peg in a firm place. And when your priests fail you, as fail you they do, and when your bishops fail you, as fail you they do, have the confidence of the reliability of God, because God has said, on this rock I build my church. Therefore I say to you this, cleave to our Holy Father. He is the place Christ chose. We probably would not have chosen St. Peter, but then again, when comparing the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God, where can we show more confidence and reliability? It is Christ's faithfulness that is made visible in the teaching of our Holy Father. Not just our present Pope, Pope Benedict, but all the popes through the centuries who have faithfully preserved with the church around them to greater or sometimes to lesser degree that faithfulness to the Word of God. And in our own nation, when we have found that politics have made it difficult to hold firm and fast to that teaching, even when our own bishops in this country 400 or so years ago fell, by the way, all but one, who abandoned the faith of the church, all except St. John Fisher, our Holy Father remained firm like a peg driven into a firm place. Therefore, I say this to you. If you want to know where the church is, find Peter and his successors. There was a saying in the earliest years of the church that remains true today. Like many sayings then, it's more pithy in Latin than in English. And the saying goes, ubi Petrus, ibi Ecclesia. Where there is Peter, there is the church. Because that's what Christ teaches. Therefore, I say to you, the visible head of the church on earth is our Holy Father, Pope Benedict. His teaching is reliable because Christ is faithful to his church. Our Lord didn't look on St. Peter and say, I identify concrete reliability in this man, and therefore I make the visible head of the church on earth. Quite the reverse. Our Lord donates that reliability to him. It is Christ's teaching that's faithful, and we hear it in the beacon he gives to us. Our Holy Father is a gift of the mercy of God. It's done for our benefit and not for Pope Benedict's. It's not done to raise him and to glorify him. He would be the last to proclaim that himself. The gift of the Holy Father is for your benefit and for mine, so that I know when I'm struggling with my life, when I'm dealing with the complexities of the moral life and of the spiritual life, when I find I don't have that instinctive understanding, this is the will of God, or when I find that my desire and my instinct lead me down one pattern of life, one choice of how to live, but the teaching of the church goes in another, I have to choose which is the voice of Christ. Because Christ says to us, here I build my church. Cling to this, and you have clung to me. Hold firm to that teaching, and what you're receiving is my life flowing through you, even through a weak vessel like our Holy Father, Pope Benedict. And therefore, the truth of our teaching is this. If the church is built on Peter, then the church needs to be rooted in him. There can be no Christian unity in the deepest sense of the word without Peter, because that's where Christ permanently builds his body, the church. Therefore, when you pray for Christian unity, pray that all those who proclaim Christ as their Lord and who have accepted the mercy and the grace of Christ may also accept this gift of Christ, of the headship of the church on earth in our Holy Father. Because that's not my will, and that's not the democratic will by vote of the Catholic Church. It is the voice of Christ. It is the will of Almighty God. And it is for us to accept that will joyfully as disciples of God, not imposing our structure on the church or trying to free the church from this structure, but to accept it as what God asks of us, as a way that we can be sure and guaranteed in faith that the paths we choose are the paths that lead to Christ in his church and therefore to our Heavenly Father. Pray for Pope Benedict. The ministry that God has asked him to undertake is terrifying in its magnitude. He is to be the beacon of truth for all of the world, strengthened by Christ and given that protection by the Holy Spirit, and yet still weak in himself. And yet we know that as he teaches, so Christ leads and guides and governs his church. Therefore, accept this gift willingly as a gift of God. Cleave to our Holy Father. Hear his voice. Hear his teaching, united with that of the church. And as you put it into practice, laying aside personal will and accepting the gift of God, do so knowing this for certain. ubi Petrus, ibi Ecclesia. And where there is the church, there truly is Christ himself. God bless you.